Amen. Thank you. I did also want to mention our graduates. So hopefully I don't forget anybody. I know Cassandra graduated. Congratulations. Osvaldito, I believe, graduated. Junior, right? And Johnny, I believe, also. So did I miss anyone? Carlitos, did he move to middle? Ooh, big move. Carlitos was promoted and graduated. And I also want to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper after the sermon. So that's all prepared. So let's allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts this morning as we prepare. It's good to see Gerald back there. How you feeling, Gerald? Brother Gerald, praise the Lord. You know, and then we also have Sister Vanessa back there, and both Vanessas back there. It's a combo package. Not to forget George and Maria and all of you, Sister Sarah, and of course, La Hermana Estelita, Camelita, right? Everybody. Thanks to Eric back there also working in the sound room. We do have a new computer on the way to help us with our music again, so bear with us. But what we do have, most importantly, and you know, when I do my teachings like I did last Sunday online, like we did, that was kind of cool, be able to be here even though I wasn't here. I hope that worked out for you guys. I always like to say, especially like on Wednesdays and back in the days when we were on distant learning, if you would, we did Wednesday nights on Facebook. I always like to say that I was coming from my kitchen table and the production of being able to come from my kitchen table is because I have this tablet, right? And I always like to say that this is Pastor Robert signing off from the kitchen table of Crosspoint Productions, where the budget is really cheap, but the message is priceless. You know what? In spite of everything, technology, I'm here, I'm not here, the most important thing we cannot ever let escape us, at least my prayer and my vision for this church, is that there would be a thirst and a desire to just hear God's word. I truly believe if I do my job and am faithful to present you God's word the best I can, that God will take what you hear and he will, in your life personally, increase your faith, which in turn will increase your walk with him, the intimacy of that walk, your trust in him, amen, and ultimately your witness. Your witness matters. That's what we're trying to produce, a witness. We're going to see that in the life of Joseph this morning. We need to be more than just said Christians. You know what I mean? We say we're Christians. We need to not really say we are. We need to see that we are. The world needs to see that there's something different about us. And there is, and we'll see that today in this passage. So I'm just going to pray right now. Let's pray as we stand. And I'm just going to read the first verse or so, and then just pick up like I do, verse by verse. It's the title of today's sermon is The Lord Was With Joseph. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I'll never forget when I actually first read this story many years ago, my walk with the Lord. I always was impressed by this statement that's going to be repeated a number of times throughout the rest of what we do here. The Lord was with Joseph. There cannot be something that makes a greater difference in our life than that statement. It makes all the difference. The Lord was with, and put your name there. The Lord was with Sarah. The Lord was with Maria. The Lord was with Yolanda, right? Put your name there. And it's ever so true if you trust him. It's found in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6 is what we're going to look at today. We're just going to look at the first verse just to get started. And it says, "And now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there." Let's pray. Father, thank you. We just want to ask your blessing this morning on this passage of verses, these passages that we're going to look at today in Genesis 39, and continue to look at the life of Joseph, this man that you sent to Egypt, this man, Lord, that whose life, Lord, belonged to you. And your plan and purpose for him, Lord, we come to understand and see, Lord, that everything's always moving toward salvation. Everything's always moving toward a rescue, toward redemption, toward provision. And Father, my prayer is that we would see ourselves as Joseph, and more importantly, you moving and working in his life as well as in ours, and that our faith would be solid and strong in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the things that happen to us, in spite of the things that happen in our lives. Help us to grow in that understanding, Lord, and in our testimony, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just the verse right here, if you look at it, there's a couple of things that I just want to kind of pinpoint. Joseph is brought down to Egypt. Now, obviously, we know that the author is referring to geography. But it's not just geography. Joseph's life is radically changed because his brothers sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. The height of his decline, of his demise, is unmeasurable, really. This change that takes place in Joseph's life, it goes from him being the object of the loving attention of his father, his overindulgent father nonetheless, and now he's the object of the curiosity of people in a market for slaves. This dreamer literally hits the dirt. He's gone down, down, down from where he was. Radically changed life. I don't think we really can appreciate the message, the points that are going to be brought out, unless we understand how dramatic this change was in his life. See, some of our circumstances can change, right? How many of you can lift your hand and say, I have experience of change in my life? It may very well be dramatic change, but I doubt that, and it's unlikely, that that change happened as quickly and went as low and as, again, as fast as Joseph's life did. And I mean, most of our changes, they occur over a period of time, and yeah, there's change, but this was literally from one day to the next. He's enjoying the love of his father, and then they're plotting his death, his brothers. He's directed by a mysterious man in the field when he doesn't find him in Shechem, where his father sent him to find out how his brothers were doing. Yet God mysteriously places a man there who directs him to where his brothers were in Dotham. They see him coming from a distance. They plot his death. They want to kill him. They hate him. This dreamer, here he comes. Reuben intervenes and persuades the brothers to throw him into a dry well, a pit. As he cries out from the pit, for some reason in the story, Reuben leaves. The brother that takes over, as far as making suggestions of what to do with Joseph, Judah, suggests to sell him to these merchants, Ishmaelites. And they do so, and the next thing you know, he's riding captive on the back of a camel, headed to Egypt, only to be found in Egypt at a slave market. Pretty crazy, huh? It's a radical change. So notice the verse. It says that Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. I get it. It's geography, but it's also the reality of his life going down. At least that's what it looks like, right? Sometimes when we experience tribulation or difficulty, we may automatically think in our minds, oh man, this is terrible. Not really, when you belong to the Lord. I mean, yeah, at some level, right? You're physically going through, you're experiencing it, but not in the big picture. Because what we're trying to drive at is our position point from the very beginning. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God enters into these things, whatever they may be. So, yeah, I don't want to sound, you know, bad, but yeah, it sucks what we sometimes go through, but not really. It's not like we need luck. We have the sovereign hand of God directing our lives. I'll get into more of that, but I want to try to get you to understand the scene that we have here. He's brought down. He doesn't go on his own volition. He's not down there by his own will. It's against his will. He's sold as a slave. He's now submitted or subjected to the mercy of these merchants that bought him. And what's next? He's going to go to a slave market. That's what next. Right? And it's a slave auction that he finds himself in some days later, I suppose. The distance from Dotham to Egypt must have been at least days if they were traveling quickly, or if not weeks. So all this time to think, and the next thing you know, this event, it could not have been anything but ugly. Right? Distasteful, humiliating, cruel for Joseph. He's paraded on a slave block, if you would. He's in full view of the staring crowd, this perhaps even stripped bare, because what are they looking for as far as an owner, a master? They're looking for a good slave, a young one, 17 years old, prodding him possibly. Hey, let me take a look at your teeth. Can you smile for us? Oh, he's got good teeth. Hey, let's take a look at his muscles. Oh man, he's got some muscles. This is going to be a good one. He's 17. Wow. Whatever investment I make in this young man, it's going to pay back. And boy, would it ever for Potiphar. Unknowingly, the variable that he didn't know was that God was with him. I'll get into that a little bit more later. So, just get into Joseph's skin for a minute. There's pain, there's confusion that he must have felt trying to understand what actually was happening to him. I'm sure, you know, being in a foreign country didn't make it easier, and not understanding the language, what are they saying to me, kind of a thing, you know. And he probably had to read their eyes and kind of figure out what they were thinking and what they were planning. And obviously he didn't have to wait too long to understand his fate, because he saw that there was a transaction going on, and there he is, sold, and then dragged away most likely in chains, because after all, they don't know. He might run away, and there's probably guards there. And next thing you know, he lands, as we see in our verse, in the house of this man called Potiphar. And he's a man of authority. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's a man of power and wealth, no doubt, working for the Pharaoh. Says that he was the guard. He was like in charge of, you know, the police force, if you would, to protect Pharaoh. The substantive man, not just any run-of-the-mill person. Not accidental, by the way. God's plan to plant him there. Because we saw in Psalm 105, when I started this series, God sent a man to Egypt. And every step of the way, God's in charge. But it's good to read that in this story. You know, we see he's exposed. We see he's alone. We must at least conclude that there's some fear going on in his life. And then wondering, don't we, when things happen to us that are out of our control, we find ourselves maybe even victims to circumstances or people and their injustice. That happens. I mean, obviously that's what's going on here at the hand of his brothers. And yet, with the exposure to this cruelty and wondering what's going on and probably somewhat afraid. You know, you ever go to a foreign country and, you know, you got your hotel tickets, you got your, you know, tourist bus going to take you places. But, you know, somewhere you don't know, there's going to be some anxiety or cautious attitude on our end, right? I mean, you're somewhere you don't know. There's Joseph. And all of this, and this is my first point, first really important idea, I think, that we can pull out of this first part, is that he is, in spite of all this that's happening to him, in the center of God's will. What does that tell us? What does that say to us? We should not seek to confirm God's will in our lives by the absence of adversity. Too many times, unfortunately, in Christian sermons, I have heard that if things are going well for you, there must be something wrong with your relationship with God. And that is a lie. Did you hear me? In other words, we believe that in order to get confirmation that we're in God's will, because look at all the blessings of my life. And that's not necessarily untrue, that blessings are evidence of God's presence in your life. But just because you have adversity doesn't make the opposite true, that he's not in your life. It could be very well that he is in your life. And the adversity is what he's using to form your character, because everything we go through, I'm talking about everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is preparation for whatever he has for us later. We just don't know what that is. So there is no place for pity parties in Christendom. Oh, that's so hard, Pastor. Hey, you can come cry on my shoulder for a little while. I'll pray with you. But let's get up and keep moving. Are you guys with me on this? Does it make sense? I think so. And so the reason I can say that we should not seek to confirm God's will in our lives by the absence of adversity is what happens in the very next verse. If you guys will move it to verse 2. This verse makes all the difference. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. In the slave market? Yeah. When he was chained to the back of a camel on this who knows how many days or weeks journey, wondering and fearful and sad because of what his brothers had done to him, and because when he was thrown into the pit, and they were plotting his death, and or when he couldn't find his brothers where his father had sent him, and talking about because his father sent him. All of this is directed by God's hand. Because we go back to Psalms 105 again, and I'm going to repeat it. It's the actual theme of this whole series. God sent a man to Egypt. And so, verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph. Wow. I stared at that verse all week. That's so important. If you just graduated and you're waiting to go to college, you can say, the Lord was with Cassandra. The Lord was with Samuel. The Lord was with Michael. The Lord, he's with you wherever you are, whatever happens to you. He's with you. It's so true in my life. I can't get past this. We're protected because God's present. Do we understand that, church? He's with us. Even though his earthly father, Jacob, did not come to find him and rescue him, and he was left behind in Canaan, believing that he had been devoured by a beast, and he was mourning his son's death, and he never came, and I'm sure Joseph wondered, why hasn't my father come? His heavenly father went with him to Egypt. That's just way over. That's too much for my heart. I'm sorry. It's too much. It's too wonderful. Gosh, if we could believe that this little church right here could do things that mega churches can't do. Because it's not us. It's the Lord with us that matters. Amen? So Joseph's heavenly father, I could say this, accompanied him to Egypt. That's what this verse is saying. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was blessed because, not because of Joseph, in spite of the fact that he has a good character, he's a good boy. All this befell him not by his choice, or it was all against his will. He didn't want this. But look what it says. It's just powerful. It says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Right? God's presence in Joseph's life is the source of his protection. And he's the source of our protection, no matter what falls on us. Financial problems, relational problems, health issues. You know, there were a couple of days there when I, not this week, the week before, the first couple of days when I went through COVID, where there was basically Pastor Robert just laying in bed. I didn't want to get up. It felt good to be in bed. But man, there was a sweet presence of the Lord. I hadn't experienced that in a long time. And I'm actually looking back now and thinking, that's what he wanted. I had to shut everything off that I thought and that I do and thought was important. I mean, how are they going to survive down there at the school? My students, they survived. And most of them could care less that I was gone. Man, what's my administrator going to do if I'm not there to counsel him on what to do about the riot in some of my students or some of the students that we have to deal with that I'm responsible for? What are they going to do? They're fine. God said, and God says to us, sometimes when we find ourselves in a place where there's anything we can do about it, that's where exactly where I want you. Listen. It's time for you to listen. Be quiet. And the only way I can get you there is to turn everything off in your life. but I want this. I'm not asking you for permission, says the Lord. I'm doing what's best for you in the long run. We got to keep the big picture. So there's a couple of verses that came to my mind when I read, and the Lord there was with Joseph. We'll talk a little bit more about his success. But first, whatever success, if we read this correctly, we could go and read it backwards. Okay, so this is what I like to do. I like to tear these verses up backwards, sideways, from underneath and above them. It could easily be said that he was successful and became successful because the Lord was with him. We could read it like that, can't I? Yeah. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. He was a slave, and yet the Lord was with him, and yet he was successful in spite of the fact that he was a slave. Because it's exactly where God wanted him, for his reasons. There's a verse in the Psalms 9, 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. No doubt Joseph was oppressed. He's a slave. A stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name, if we go to the next, and there it is, you'll see it. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 46:1 says, God is a refuge and strength. Listen to this, an ever-present help in trouble. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's interesting. His right hand is righteous. Joshua 1:5. See, all these verses were written later after Joseph's experience. But it doesn't make them any less true for Joseph. Because God is the same yesterday. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So for it says that God was with Joseph, all these verses are still true, even though they were written later, because God is eternally consistent. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. This is, of course, the Lord speaking to Joshua as he was going to now take command and lead Israel into the promised land. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Or as I learned it from the days of the King James Version, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's say that together. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's do it, but let's do it convincingly. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But I'm in Potiphar's house, and I'm a slave. Let's say it again. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where you are. Let me say this. We don't need to, as Christians, to wait for God to enter into our lives. He's with us wherever we are. And I know I've said this before, it's out of that movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I think. Wherever you go, there you are. Isn't that deep? See, our pastor is so philosophical. No, it's not. I'm going to change it a little bit. Wherever you go, there you are, but so is God. Wherever I go? Yeah, wherever you go. Wherever he sends you. Whatever they do to you, there he is. Amen? When we accept that, not only hear it, not only kind of assent to it, agree with it in our heads, but whenever we hear it, agree with it, and then believe it, to the point to where we accept that, our lives will forever be changed. Our attitudes and perspective will forever be the correct one. Right? Because our understanding is that God is with us. So it's the accompanying presence of God in the life of Joseph, his servant, that makes Joseph, his servant, listen, distinctive. The distinction, the difference with Joseph is the fact that God accompanied him, that God was present in his life. So somehow it is apparent to people, because we're going to read in the next section, that there is a different dimension to those who belong to the Lord. See, this is the point to where he said we would be his witnesses, go into all the world and and wait for the Holy Spirit first, and then I'll make you witnesses, right? I'll give you power, he told him in Acts, to be his witnesses. That witness and God's presence in your life becomes apparent to people that they see the difference in your life. They see that God protects you. They see that God provides for you. And they see God's blessing in your life. Because look what it says again. His master, verse 3, and we keep going to the next section. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. So not only was the Lord with him, not only did Joseph know this, but the Potiphar, his master, saw that. And here's the key. Listen to this. And that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Wow. Potiphar found himself saying, man, you know what? There's actually something different about this Hebrew kid that we picked up in the market that day. What's his name? Because he had so many. But I got a lot of slaves. Man, but this one, he stands out. This one is special. Why? Because the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Wow. Church, you should be praying right there where you're sitting and saying, oh God, that I would be the kind of person in the marketplace of life, that people, when they see me, when they see my what I produce at work, or when they see me with my family and my children, and they can say, wow, there's something different about that mom. There's something different about that dad. There's something different about that employee. There's something different about that neighbor. There's something different about them. What in the world can it be? God's in your life. That's what it is. Oh, it's just too simple, Pastor. I mean, yeah, it's a great, you know, you're a really good speaker up there. And I noticed that you actually have some notes that you take. No, this is simple. The problem is to believe it. The guy, I think he studied because he's been up there for 25 minutes now. It's nothing hard here. We're just reading what it says. Trying to explain it. So what we discover is that the favor of God rested on Joseph. You know what that means when you say favor of God rested on Joseph? God's grace was present in Joseph's life. God's grace makes a difference in our lives. And then when God is blessing us in our lives, we don't have to telegraph the news. We don't have to go around going, I am blessed. Or your pastor says something and you shout from the crowd, myself. You don't need to do that. Why? Because it's going to be evident. It's going to be apparent. Even to Potiphar, even to pagans, that God is with you. You don't need to announce that when God is truly present in your life. People will tell you. People will want to be with you. Because what happens here is the blessings begin to spread out to others around you. They just figure, man, that's a good friend to be with. Every time I'm with him, good things happen. Right? I'm going to share with you this point through something I found. It says, it's a little statement, a phrase. It isn't the style. Like my shirt? Hey, guys, notice that my boots actually match my shirt? That's quite an accomplishment for me. It's not the style or the stuff, the buttons and the lapel of the coat, nor is it the length of the tailor's bill. It's the stuff in the chap inside of the coat that counts for good or ill. You can never dress the part. You can never, like Jesus would say about the Pharisees, that they were whited sepulchers. Oh, on the outside they look wonderful. On the inside they're rotten. No, it's not how you dress. It's not what you look like. It's nothing to do with anything on the external. It's about who lives in the internal, in your heart. That's what we discover with Joseph. So I can finish the rest of this and kind of wrap this up. I mean, it's a little bit early. I've got a little bit more time. Just bear with me and we'll take the Lord's Supper. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him and paid attention to him. Potiphar paid attention to Joseph. Wouldn't it should be the other way around, that the slave should be paying attention to his master and attending to his master? But in this case, it's the other way around. And it says, he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. This is a rich man and a powerful man. And he saw that God's presence in his life was so great and the blessings that followed, that he made him or gave him charge of everything he had. Boy, that's trust. Would you do that? From that time that he made him overseer of his house, he was the boss, and over all that he had, listen to what continues happening. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The Lord blessed this pagan? Yeah, why? Why? For Joseph's sake. And for his own sake. What do you mean? Because Joseph follows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom the Lord will bless and save that nation and bring them out at one point in the future. So they go back into the promised land, as God had said would happen to Abraham some 500 years earlier. Fulfilling his will and purposes. And if you will submit and say, and this is how easy this becomes, all you need to do is say, Lord, I want to be included in your will for my life. I want to cooperate and collaborate with you in whatever you want. Faith, that's what you want, or where I should work, or go to school, or study, or whatever. But you know what? In the end of the day, the gym is not a he wants, and he's looking for those people. And if you will say that, he will follow you, and you will follow where he takes you. This is not brain. Of my problems and a lot of the things that have happened in my life are because I made these decisions without waiting on you or going before you. But now I'm going to stop, and I just want you to take me wherever you want to go, because I know that's the best place that I can be. Quiet. And it takes a man 62 years to figure that out. Oh, wait a minute, is that my age? It's not. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in the house and in the fields. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So the only thing he worried about, what are we having tonight? Kung Pao chicken or pizza? How about Italian? That's the only thing he had to think about. Everything else was run by a man who had God's blessing and prospered him. He goes, man, when I put him in charge, everything works. I'm going to stay out of the way and let go and let God. Right? So Potiphar promotes Joseph. He's a good servant. He expresses his confidence in him. And it seems that he was delighted to do so. And the more he delegated to Joseph, the more he was blessed. And you say, why? Because God was with him. Because God had determined all the way back to when his father sent him to go look for his brothers that this was his sovereign purpose. And you know, it was God that sent Joseph to Egypt. It's God who protected him. It's God who's prospering him. And it's God who promoted him. God's hand was upon him, and that's all that matters, God's hand. And the only explanation of what was happening in his fields with the harvests and the abundance of the harvest, his investment portfolio, his crypto stock investments, or whatever they did back then, and why they were going through the roof, right? And why his fields were producing as never before is because God was blessing Potiphar for Joseph's sake. That's the only explanation there is. So this kind of goes in good with what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When men see our light and our good deeds, church, they're going to ask us. What they don't see, there's nothing to ask. So a lot of times people go, man, I wonder why my witness doesn't work. Because they don't see anything. Because in a lot of ways, sometimes we as Christians, our lives are worse than theirs. Why do they want to be a Christian? But when you quietly and humbly follow God, and he blesses you, and you're even wondering like, wow, I don't know. That's kind of been happening to me lately. Checks dropping in from who knows where. I'm like, really? I'm sitting there in bed, you know, all week, 2 weeks. Oh, man. And I read this email. We're getting a 6.5% raise next month. I'm thinking 6.5%. I was in bed with I'm starting to feel a little better. Bam! Blessings. Bam! That happens, doesn't it? To you, too? Doesn't it? Think about it. It's not an accident. It's not coincidence. You belong to the Lord. So I'll close with this. Joseph's life is evidence that God will not forsake us, no matter where we are, where we go, or what they do to us, whoever they may be. And I'll also reinforce what I said earlier to close it. All this adversity was not a sign of God's disapproval. Rather, in fact, through it all, God was with him. Amen? So let's remember this by President Dieter Uchtdorf of one of the university's seminaries. He says, following the Savior will not remove all your trials. However, it will remove the barriers between you and the help your Heavenly Father wants to give you. God will be with you. What is that again? Following Christ will not remove all of your trials and troubles. However, it will remove the barriers between you and Him who can help you. Amen? So what we need to do is trust the Lord. So let's do this. Let's pray, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. We've still got plenty of time this morning. That's my message for today. Father, thank you. Thank you for encouraging us through the life of Joseph. And help us, Lord, to see that what truly matters for us as your children, as believers, as Christians, is this one thing, and solely this one thing, that you're with us. No matter what may happen or how or when and or where, you're still with us. And you can bless us not in some future ideal place someday whenever we're ready or whenever everything's perfect, but wherever we are now, that's where we serve you. Wherever we are, we don't have to wait. You're with us now. And as a church, this body of believers here at Cross Point Community Church in Rialto, help us to understand that, accept that, for whatever it is you have for us as a church, that we can do and be blessed in ways that beyond our imagination, not because of who we are or how many we are, but because you're with us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.